A controversial debate is brewing on Chinese social media. It goes like this. Poor kids cannot turn their life around, and that's a true testament to social equality in today's China. This is truly a controversial statement, and it's gaining a lot of support and ridicule at the same time on Chinese social media. Let's talk about this. What started the debate of rich kids versus poor kids?
Sure. So we have two articles here. The first one being a 20 online article under the title, The Difficulty for Students from Poor Families to Become Successful Shows Equality for Those Who Make the Effort. The author of the online article explains that it's because parents of poor families don't make enough effort and then put their dreams on their kids and asking their kids to do more and be successful for them. And basically, the argument here is that it's fair and reasonable for people from a better background performing better, because if you're from a poor background, it's only because your parents didn't do enough so that you're in this position, so you can't do as well. So it's fair. And then a China Youth Daily report refutes the statement above, saying that when we talk about some students from poor families becoming successful, we cannot neglect the great economic and cultural disparity between different regions and social class, saying that society may need to do more. We need to provide better situation for those kids from a not that well background so that they can fight for their future, instead of just saying that your parents didn't do enough, so it's fair for you to have to do more.
Yeah, so looking at what, is considered, because I think it's important to look at what is considered successful.
Yes.
And the definition of what this is, right? And so I guess in quantifiable terms here, the most pertinent definition of successful maybe here in China is going to get a good education from a good university. So that is one of the top universities here in China. That's seen as being very successful. Also, getting a well-paid job, a job that is respected, this kind of thing. Maybe a captain of your industry, something in the IT company, just a good job, especially after college, I think, makes you feel you're on the right track to becoming successful. But I think, this being said, in China today, it's not necessarily like these maybe rural kids don't necessarily have the chance to change their stars. There is, of course, the Gaokao, which, of course, if you don't have the resources available to you, you might not be able to perform. But basically, the Gaokao, it's that 10 million participants per year. They do the Gaokao, a college entrance exam in China. It is an extensive, far-reaching standardized test, often compared to the SAT in the US and the A-level in the UK, except the Gaokao is much more fiercer when it comes to competition. And so it is one of the basically the biggest criteria to judge where you're going to go to college. And so because of this, it's been deemed the kind of onerous name of life determining exam. So this is seen as one of the few opportunities one has to change their family's socioeconomic status, basically putting a lot of pressure on these little kids. I think they're kids still, when you're going and doing this Gaokao, to basically not just change your stars, but maybe all of those who came before you, if you're from maybe a rural area or a family that has less money. And so this is where we talk about socioeconomics and how it comes to play in helping these kids realize their potential in the Gaokao. And so here's something from an interview with, the latest interview of the top Gaokao scorer in Beijing, Xiang Xuanang. So he said, "We students in Beijing enjoy the most or best educational resources. I would have never been able to score that well if I did not have a good family background. Both parents are diplomats, I guess, and the privileged education resources I've enjoyed." So we're getting also here a top Gaokao scorer saying that for him, this was only possible because of his family, those who came before him, people that valued education, and then also the ability to be able to afford and have in his city, Beijing, good educational resources to help him further his education and do well on the Gaokao.
Yes, and we'd like to specify a little more about the poor family thing, because I think for the clarity of the further discussion, we wanted to say that in this particular context, a more permanent connection of the phrase would be families in rural, especially remote areas in China, because not only would families in poor, well, remote areas of China can enjoy as much educational resources as in big cities, their disposable income is also like one third of people living in urban areas. So for now, we're going to say poor families, as in people living in rural area, especially in the remote area of China.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate definition, I suppose, that captures the essence of the situation we're talking about right here. But also, I just like to sidebar a little bit and highlight one fact, that it is true that probably the biggest divide in terms of socioeconomic conditions in China right now is urban versus rural.
Right.
But it's also important to look at the urban poor, because it's very easy to lump different social groups into these two umbrella terms and neglect the nuance of the complicated situation of people not being able to enjoy equal education access. And in the urban area, I think when urban poor, like this group of people, are able to maybe enjoy public education, but if the families that have more disposable income and are willing to invest in their kids' future from the beginning, then yes, these kids are going to get even better educational resources simply because mom and dad are putting the effort and the money into that. And that is the part I think these two articles have talked about. And also it touches a nerve for Chinese people, because I think in our tradition, being one person that is investing a lot into your education and using your merit, that is being able to score highly in examination to change your destiny, that is what Chinese people have always believed in.
Yeah.
Even in traditional ancient Chinese society, when we invented the imperial examination. So that is a meritocracy kind of system. But today, the worry comes that maybe it's increasingly difficult, that meritocracy does not carry you very far. Let's talk about this. Is it true that poor families simply rarely, if not seldomly, are able to churn out kids that are deemed successful?
Well, first of all, I want to say something. You said, you know, this quote and what we're talking about, what was said on, you know, by some people here, and what is we're talking about is, you know, that today's China, it's hard for these poor kids to get ahead, right? But I would say to you, in my dad's generation in the U.S., fewer people went to college. Education has been so elitist. I think reading is no different to like maybe 40, 50 years ago, maybe even 100 years ago, as being one of the elitist forms of education, something so not many people in rural areas had, yet maybe people in what was considered the big cities back then, maybe they did have on a higher scale. Whereas you could say the same, times really haven't changed. I mean, reading 100 years ago is digital competency now, you know? Now people know how to read to an extent, mostly, but digital competency, maybe in rural areas, that's lacking because there's not enough computers. But what I'm saying here is, I don't think times have ever really, you know, we talked about in the past that actually I feel like though we feel we have much different lives from our counterparts who existed in the past, we have the same problems just in a different way. And I think this is no different from maybe problems we necessarily have had throughout generations here. So instead of digital competency and this kind of thing, back then it was reading. It was these kind of mathematics. But, you know, talking specifically, though, about maybe you said what, how are these kids, are they becoming successful? So we said admission to top university is one of the ways you become deemed successful. So for the top 39 universities, 20.8% of their students are from rural descent. So not a lot of these rural kids are getting the chance or are getting admitted into these 39 top universities. But let's go ahead and say, you know, top-ranking university like Peking University, 14.2% of their students, I guess, from the 2013 freshman class were from rural areas. Let's look at Tsinghua University, 57th best university in the world, okay? Actually, the one I'd done before, Peking, 53rd best university in the world. So for Tsinghua, 57th best, 17% of their 2010 freshman class were of rural descent. Now, in other colleges nationwide that aren't considered the tip of the top of best universities in China, you're seeing that percentage go up much higher. They're 62%. They're the majority in the not better schools, right? So higher education, still, you're seeing what a Tsinghua professor recently said, an inverted pyramid, you know, where the top of the pyramid, most of these best schools have more affluent students. And so it's basically, if you deem this as a way of being successful, I think you could safely say that rural kids are not achieving success as their counterparts, the urban descent.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, I'm not necessarily agreeing with Ryan here, because I don't think the society has not changed. I think the society has changed. And there is a phase of any society where you're successful depends on total uncertainty, depends on chances. Maybe everyone has nothing. So you have to go outside to the wild, wild west and grab something. That's the foundation of your whole family. Later on, you build a foundation. Maybe your offspring, your kids are allowed to have decent education, or at least the society is starting to provide decent education resources. And I'm not going to say choose the less evil, but for me, it's like our society is now at the phase where most families have started to build a base, started to have a foundation in their family, whether it's in rural area, in remote area where they only have a little resource, or they're in big cities, they are a wealth family already, they can provide a lot for their kids. Neither nor families are starting to build a foundation, and now we're working on it. And I'd like to say, to some extent, this is always a rallies race, meaning that you're fighting on top of what your parents have already got. And I'm not saying it's a perfect situation, and it's certainly not equal. You can't say to poor kids, it's your parents' fault, you don't have a perfect family for you to work on. But it is the situation. I think it's important for individuals to realize that, to realize how much you need to fight for, to maybe for your kids or at least for yourself.
I think it's really interesting that, Niu Honglian, you brought up an analogy of one generation passing on educational resources or access of such, and also family wealth to the next generation as a relay race. Because we tend to think that, oh, we start from scratch, but that's not true. You're starting upon the foundation that your parents have built for you to some extent. It could be that your parents left the rural village to work in the city, and then you start to enjoy the educational resources that's available in the city, for example. But here comes another testy issue. That is, okay, we've laid the groundwork of what the situation is like, but what about its relation to fairness? Is it fair that because the parents worked harder or for some other reason that they managed to ride the tide and they have better resources in their hands and they're passing it on to the next generation?
But what? Who told you life was fair? You know, I mean, you get this ethical feeling of it has to be. Everybody should have the same, you know, all of this stuff. But where does that ever happen? Where does perfect ever exist? I'm sorry if I'm being the bearer of bad news, but I do think fairness does exist. And I'll say that exists if you want it. Now, you know what? I would say every affluent family maybe in Beijing had a start where at some point their family in a generation had to overcome poverty, the restrictions of it, to learn more, to change their stars, and that's how they became affluent. That's how education got valued, is maybe at some point a generation, one of these guys or girls realized how important education was, how it made their life not so great. So they said to their kid, even though they never got education, you need to go to college. because that would have changed my stars. And maybe they did more time. They worked harder in their life, working more jobs. And eventually this kid, though they were from poverty, was able to change their stars. Now, I have a good example of this. My grandfather was in my family is considered very successful, has a boat, has several houses, owns tons of property in the U.S. And the thing is, when he talks about it, he's a very humble man, you know, and he takes care of his family. He's a very good person. But he said, you know, when he was 14, instead of focusing on school and all this stuff, you know, because he liked learning. He told me he wished he could have learned more. But his father told him at a young age when he gave him a present for his 14th birthday, a mirror and a pair of working gloves. He said, watch yourself starve or get a job and use the gloves. So he went and he got a job. But actually, I think this kind of education also taught him that if he works hard in life, maybe he learned to work harder than the other kids that had the rich, easy, cush life. He realized hard work makes the difference between actually what is successful and someone who just sits on their laurels of their parents. And I think he wanted it more. And one day he took over his father's business. His father had an engraving business after he got out of the military. My grandfather never had a chance to get education, but he kind of self-taught himself how to run this business. It became so successful, and he was able to invest in the stock market, learn all about it. He had great stocks that did really well. This guy, by your terms of what is considered, he didn't go to a top university. And when he first started working, he didn't have a very great, well-paid job. Yet you would say, by those terms, he's not successful. I think there's hundreds of these people, hundreds of immigrants that come to the U.S. that take over captains of industries jobs because they just want it more. I think one of the hardest things for a kid from a very affluent family is wanting it as bad as the kid who's from the underprivileged family.
That's a very good point, but that only works in the precondition that there is a clear path, a way, despite how narrow it could be, but it's a clear path for those from a disadvantaged position or family background to rise to the top. And only when a society can clear that path can we say there is any equality in a society?
No, I disagree. Abraham Lincoln taught himself to read, went to college, and became president of the United States. Anything's possible. Just because you don't see the path doesn't mean it's not there. There's a path to get to this stuff. Sure, these are special and exceptional people, but if it was easy, everybody would be this kind of person, but I don't think it's impossible.
See, I think it's a matter of perspective. If you are the government, if you're running the country, you can't say to people in rural areas that because you don't have a will, because you don't see the chance, because you're not smart enough, so you don't get to be successful. Your job is to provide equal chances and maybe situations, conditions for those people so that if they wanted to, if they do have the will, they can find the clear path. That's He Yang has been talked about. And also, as an individual, you can't actually expect on anybody or anyone else or even the government to point you that clear path. Like Ryan has said, everyone, when you has that will, you should try to fight for yourself or at least make a choice. You can be yourself living in a happy family without doing a lot more, or you can fight for your kids, for your offspring. Maybe you can learn economics and make a lot of money so that your kids can be an artist in the future.
Yeah, so I mean, here's what I'll tell you guys, is that, you know, you can wait for fairness to come to your doorstep and knock and say, hey, I'm here. I'm sorry I'm a little late. Oh, whoa, it's a little bit later in life. I'm sorry. I didn't get to you at the right time. You know, or you can realize that fairness comes from you having to work a little bit extra and a little bit harder. But that's where you can change the stars, because these affluent families at some point were poor, and at some point someone changed it. So really, yes, now they're sitting on laurels of those people that had to do what you're going to do, but you can do it because they did it at some point. You'll get there. It's harder work. But trust me, that's where fairness comes from you working hard.
I think that's a very inspiring message, and I agree with you. But I think society, and I'm saying that the government has a huge responsibility
yeah,
here.
Yeah, for sure.
That is to pave that path, to make it possible.
Yes.
How to do that? That is through public policy. And the most one of the most important policies of this department is education.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's only when now we see that there is the underprivileged kids that need a bit more help to just even be on the equal footing as those peers living in the city. And these kids, they need the investment. They need the funding to make that possible. And I think that part needs to be reiterated because it really worries people, worries me when I see that on social media, there's a huge group of people who are actually advocating a form of social Darwinism, saying that you are better without looking at the preconditions that you're already sitting upon and saying this is fair. I do not buy that
at
all. Now
you have a mobile phone and you have availability to so much information out there. Whereas Abraham Lincoln had to run to maybe neighbors' houses to get a book to learn. You have it not so bad as those who came before you to change your stars. But this is the cold hard facts. They're not going to change themselves. You can wait for certain things. I do think government infrastructure should better help these rural kids. I'd also say we're human beings. People want to help people. And I think you'll find now volunteers teaching people to read and really getting out there to rural areas to try to teach.
Yes, a lot of things need to be done to change the situation we're in. And also I see that in certain rural families that they're not seeing the importance of education anymore because reality seemed to fail you under different fronts, but in order to change long term, can you think of a better path? You're listening to Roundtable.